This is Sound and Query, the Southern Illinois University Medical Library's podcast. I'm Lydia Howes, your host and one of many friendly librarians here. Tune in for information about the School of Medicine's activities and research, library events and resources, and anything else that we deem interesting. In today's episode, I'm chatting with Dr. Sapan Desai, a vascular surgeon and the vice chair of research in the Department of Surgery at SIU School of Medicine. Dr. Desai is also the medical director of the Surgical Skills Center, which keeps the School of Medicine ahead of the curve in training surgeons. Today, I wanted to pick your brain about the new Memorial Center for Learning and Innovation Surgical Skills Lab. It's pretty exciting. How long has it been around?
It is actually pretty exciting. The Skills Lab is actually one of the oldest skills labs in the country. It's been around for at least 10, maybe close to 15 years at this point. The director of the Skills Lab is Janet Ketchum, and she's got a team of three additional people, Jenny, Brian, and Heather, who help her with all the activities of the Skills Lab. So I guess the question is, what is a Skills Lab? What is a surgical skills lab, and what does it do? People start to wonder, well, aren't the surgeons we're working with already skilled, and why do they need more training? And
I would hope so.
Basically, surgical skills training exists because medical students, residents, fellows, and even faculty all need further education. We all need help to perfect this art and science of medicine and surgery. Not everything we do is pretty straightforward. You know, there are some things that are actually pretty complicated and require multiple steps to do and lots of practice to get perfect. You know, it's like a grand pianist or something. You know, they really need to practice all the time to be as good as they really are. The Surgical Skills Lab basically exists to provide a structured framework for education and giving people those skills they need to be technically outstanding. Now, of course, everything else in terms of the decision making comes over 5 to 7 or 10 years of surgical training after 4 years of medical school. So you're definitely in this for the long haul. Basically, how it works is Janet has set up a pretty comprehensive curriculum, and she works with all the different divisions in surgery, actually more than just Department of Surgery. She works throughout the entire university. And the goal is to identify key areas where these residents need help. So if you're dealing with an intern who's a first-year doctor, basically just graduated from medical school, they may not know how to make a connection between an artery and a vein. That's called an anastomosis, and that requires a lot of skill because the arteries and veins in our body are very, very small. So sometimes you actually wear a magnifying lens and sew this under like 3x or 5x magnification, depending on the size of the anastomosis. So what she's done is she's come up with a clever way to simulate that in her skills lab. And under direct proctorship by faculty and her team, she's able to teach people how to do these anastomoses. And they're videotaped, which is really cool. And I can watch the videotape from my office and basically review how the resident's doing and give them feedback. So that's really cool. There are some residents who are outstanding and others who need a little bit more work. And, you know, we send them back for more practice. They do it again until they get it perfect.
Yeah. So they get it perfect before they're doing it on you.
Absolutely. They're not going to practice on me. So like I was saying, it's the oldest skills lab in the country. The work that Janet does is pioneering and exceptional, I think. And she's got an international reputation in the stuff that she's done. In fact, people from other places around the country have come to visit her to see what she does and how she does it, and then have tried to mimic this all around the country.
Yeah, and now you have a shiny new location.
We certainly do.
Could you tell us a little bit about what is new and different about your current home?
Yeah, it's one could say it's almost like a shining beacon of light. It's really amazing. So the MCLI is what you're referring to. That's the Memorial Center for Learning and Innovation. It's a four-story, freestanding, $40 million building. And it houses not just Janet's area, which is the SIU Surgical Skills Center, but also includes dedicated facilities for medical simulation, quality improvement, some hospital operations and things like that, professional development and many other areas as well. So it's a great place to put together people who think alike and have a common mission. And I got to tell you that in the short span of time that it's been open, we've seen some remarkable successes across the spectrum. It impacted the SIU Surgical Skills Center profoundly. We moved from the basement to the hospital, and a facility that was probably the size of my apartment in Chicago back when I was in medical school. Not very big and very cramped, but functional. You know, I mean, the hospital has been very generous throughout all of these years in terms of funding and giving whatever space was available. But I think Janet quickly outgrew the space that she was given, and it was starting to get cramped, and she couldn't do all the activities she wanted. So Memorial, in their foresight and remarkable generosity, actually gave Janet part of this fourth floor of a building that was originally supposed to have only three floors.
Oh.
They built the fourth floor for SIU.
Well, that was very nice. Thank you.
So I don't think a lot of people know that story, but it's definitely worth mentioning. It's pretty remarkable. They gave Janet a tremendous amount of space. She's got office space now and a beautiful view of the campus from her fourth floor windows. And the facility itself now has a dry lab and a very large wet lab, ample storage, a big fridge, space for a 3D printer, which we hope to obtain soon, and many other things going on. So the building's changed things quite a bit, because it's not just the space, but let me take an aside and say one comment real quick. I'm a firm believer that the environment very much affects who you are and what you do. You know, if you don't have the resources, there's only so much that you can do in life. I think Memorial probably believes that too, because all you have to do is walk over to the Skills Center and see the impact it's had on all the activities going on. First of all, it's not just the space that Janet has to work with now. It's also the technology base that goes into the building. It's probably one of the most technologically advanced buildings of its kind in the world. And what I mean by that is that there's like an 80-inch big screen TV.
Wow.
It's large enough for anyone to see from anywhere in the room. And you can basically zoom in on one of six different stations where people are working and see what they're doing and how they're doing it. You can record any of those stations. There's multiple cameras all around the ceiling that watch what's going on. You can play all of that back, not just in the room, but anywhere in the building, anywhere in the campus, anywhere in the world. So if you want to teach someone in Zimbabwe how to do vascular anastomosis, you can do that right here at SIU and Memorial.
Cool.
Yeah. We haven't even tapped into a 1% of the opportunities available.
And who can use this shiny beacon of light?
Anyone, really. The mission of the Skills Center is to promote the education of medical students, residents, and faculty. And so if you're a member of SIU, a School of Medicine, basically, you can walk over, talk to Janet, and make it happen. I'll give you an example. We occasionally do vein procedures in my vein clinic. I'm a vascular surgeon, and we do vein procedures and things like that. So we had some new staff come on board, and we want to teach them how to do sterile technique properly. Janet has all that capability in her Skills Center. So we sent people over there for a couple hours. They learned how to do it. They come back and apply it in a clinical setting. We're talking about immediate, proximate feedback and impact on patient care.
Well, that sounds like it's a good thing.
Yep.
You've talked a lot about how we're using this new tech and we're using the Surgical Skills Lab to train the next generation of surgeons. But how has this tech changed the way that you train doctors or you train new residents?
Oh, that's a good question. 10, 20 years ago, the standard used to be that you would see one, do one, and then maybe teach one. Now, if you're doing a very, very straightforward operation, like maybe removing a lipoma from someone, it's probably okay to have a doctor see someone do it and then do it under their supervision and then teach someone how to do it. It's a very easy 5-minute operation. But if you're dealing with fixing like a ruptured aneurysm or a complicated bypass or even like open heart surgery or something, you probably don't want to just see one.
Yeah. And
fortunately, training is long, 5 to 7 years, like I said earlier. And there are plenty of opportunities to see a lot, do a lot, and maybe teach a few. Now, that's not true for all operations. There are some operations we do, like fixing a ruptured abdominal aortic aneurysm, that comes along maybe once a month. And if you're not on call that day, you're not going to see it. If your resident's not on call that day, they're not going to see it. So the chance to actually even see one, it's pretty remote. It's maybe 3, 4, 5 times over a 5-year surgery residency. And the chance to actually do it from start to finish and know what you're doing, very uncommon in today's day and age. It's maybe 1 or 2 per graduating resident based off some research that we recently completed. So they're not doing enough, and they're never given the chance to teach. They're good doctors. They want to help people and make an impact, but they may not be technically capable of doing it. this is where some of the work that we've started doing in the Skills Lab really comes to bear. What I'm talking about here really is a national problem. The number of open aneurysm repairs that we do has decreased remarkably over the past 10 to 15 years. It's gone from about 45,000 cases back in the 90s and early 2000s down to maybe 5,000 nationwide. That's maybe one or two per vascular surgery trainee. What we've come up with is a way to teach residents how to do this in the Skills Center. And we've created an anatomic model and simulated an aneurysm, a rupture, a code, and come up with a very realistic simulation. And so our vascular residents, or really anyone, can go there, go through the entire process, and fix the entire aneurysm. So we know as faculty that they have definitely seen one and definitely know how to do one. So it's if you're in the middle of it for in a real patient, you're not going to be busy thinking about how to sew it in. You'll be thinking about the big picture and taking the best care you can for the patient.
Your mind can be on more important things.
Yeah, you got it.
You mentioned this model. Can you just describe that in a bit more detail?
Sure, sure. There's actually multiple kinds of models that we can use. We have been very fortunate to have generous anatomic donors. These are people who have died who've gifted their body for medical education purposes. We do have a small selection of that tissue available. It's very precious to us, and we use it sparingly and only in very special circumstances. For this ruptured aneurysm model, I didn't want to go to live tissue because it's so precious and so important to use properly. And so instead, we created a plastic model. It's a plastic man. It's real size. It's maybe 5 feet tall altogether. If you attach the legs and the arms and everything else, it has a torso, a head. You can put a breathing tube inside. You can do all sorts of things. And then there's a simulated covering that simulates the skin and the soft tissue. It's about an inch thick, like it is in most people. It's got the skin, it's got the fat, and it's got the tissues underneath. And so you can literally take a real knife and cut through it and make that incision. Now, it doesn't bleed, which is probably a good thing for a lot of people, but you can then put your instruments inside, spread it open. And then Janet has actually, this is her creativity. She's really great at this, but she's come up with more like soft plastic molds to simulate the liver, the kidneys, the bowel. And so when you're in there and you see this stuff, you kind of take a double take and you're like, wait, that feels real. And the bowel is like squeezable, mushable a little bit.
Not what I thought of when you said it was a plastic
I know.
Man.
Yeah, it's not like a hard plastic model. It's like a soft, almost reactive tissue. It's really remarkable. You can cut into it. You can do whatever you want. The aneurysm itself, it's like a balloon, which is what aneurysms really are. They're like a balloon that's gotten so big, it eventually pops. And she's simulated that, and she's pressurized it with a simulated blood substitute. So when you cut into it, it bleeds. Oh, it's great, it's red. It stains your clothes, it's perfect.
As realistic as possible.
That's right. The cool thing is, we actually did this simulation in our real operating room at Memorial. We had Jason Johnson, our SAU photographer, come and take a bunch of great pictures. And I have those pictures hanging in my office. And when people come visit, they're like, you've got pictures of your surgery in your office? And I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty real, doesn't it? They can't tell the difference. It's that realistic.
What do you think is coming up next with training, or what's coming next for the Skills Center?
That's a great question. It's like you've been a part of everything going on for the past couple of weeks. It's pretty interesting. Let me tell you about one of our bigger projects, maybe our biggest project, actually. It's almost like a mini PhD type work that's been going on for the past almost year now. About 6 to 9 months ago, I got together with a group of people and said that, well, I had alluded to earlier about ruptured aneurysms. And I said that, you know, we really need to work on the mortality that happens with this problem. It's 90%. It's been 90% over the past 20 years. It hasn't changed. In other words, 9 out of 10 people who have a ruptured aneurysm die before they even, you know, make it to the hospital, get treatment, and go through the whole process. So we don't even have a chance to take care of them properly, unfortunately. And what that means is that it's not necessarily advances in medicine that will change these people's lives, because we haven't seen that. Despite advances in ICU care and surgical technique, we're still not saving as many people as we expected. Mortality hasn't changed that much. Instead, it may be things like skills training, coordination of care, making care more effective and efficient that will make a big impact on these people. And so what we've done in conjunction with the Skills Lab and the entire MCLI, including the Simulation Center, the Quality Improvement people, and Professional Development people, is come up with a multidisciplinary live simulation that takes a patient from the scene who develops back pain, calls 911, real paramedics come to that building, take that patient to the ambulance, that simulated ambulance in the building, and take care of that patient. From the ambulance, they go to the ER, from the ER to the operating room to the ICU. And we actually did that simulation from start to finish on December 17th last year. And we had about 50 people show up who were practitioners and another 20 or 30 administrators, managers, quality improvement experts, things like that. We recorded the whole thing. And the lessons were astounding. I mean, we learned so much about what we do, things we do right, things that we can do better. Basically, the impact of something like this has been that we're beginning to understand how realistic simulations work hand in hand with realistic skills training models. And we're bringing this whole world together. And we're doing it in such a way that we're teaching people how systems of care work, not just their own little area. That's a principle known as cross-training, and it's very valuable and very difficult to teach. And by doing it in this realistic setting, you're giving people much more buy-in. We have a real person who serves as a patient up until he gets to the operating room. I haven't had anyone sign the waiver yet, but
well, if anybody listening wants to sign that waiver,
that's right. It's while the knives are real, the anesthesia is simulated. So yeah,
high pain threshold. Who wants to sign the waiver?
So it's pretty remarkable. The cool thing about all this is it was the largest multidisciplinary healthcare simulation that's ever been done in the world as far as we've been able to tell.
Groundbreaking. We're groundbreaking
here.
Yep,
absolutely. It was front page news of the State Journal Register, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
It was fun, very fun. We recently gave a talk on this at an international meeting and had a sold-out crowd of people come to it. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. So great team, great people to work with, great facilities. And it shows, like I said earlier, it shows the vision and the remarkable generosity of Memorial to put a building like this together and let us use it in the way that we have.
Thanks again for coming.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Maybe I'll have you on again.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great. And thank you very much.
Oh, no, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Sound and Query. For more information about the library, its services and resources, or to learn about future events and podcasts, please visit our website at www.siumed.edu/lib.